Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for December 11, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at cash grain with the folks at the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In agricultural news, with time running out for a farm bill by year's end, lawmakers may or may not extend the current law till the end of January. We'll have that and other stories. Todd Gleason reports on some new thoughts on calculating 2014 cash rents, and meteorologist Drew Lerner will give us the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here's how futures settled on this Wednesday afternoon. December hard red winter wheat, 696 and a half up two. March, 684 and three quarters up a half. Soft December wheat, 630 and a quarter for December up three quarters. The March, 640 and three quarters up two. December corn, 431 and a quarter up three and three quarters. March, 439 and a quarter up three and a quarter. July, 454 and a half up two and three quarters. January soybeans, 1344 up five and three quarters. July, 1296 and three quarters up five and a half. December soybean meal, 464.60 up 50 cents. December soybean oil, 4020 up 29. December live cattle, 131.92 and a half. It was up 25. January feeder cattle, 165.67 and a half, up 12 and one half. And then the December lean hog contract came in at 80.95, and it is up 12 and one half. And those are your settlements for this Wednesday afternoon from Chicago.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's South American weather highlights for Brazil, the two-week outlook has not changed much since Tuesday, and favorable conditions for most crops are still expected in Brazil and Paraguay through the period. Southern Brazil and southern Paraguay will dry down, while frequent rounds of showers and thunderstorms and some heavy rain occur in northern Brazil. For Argentina, Tuesday was mostly dry. Today's forecast includes a little less rain in the December 20 through 22nd time period and still calls for warm to hot temperatures across a large part of Argentina this weekend into the middle of next week. Much of the country will see little to no significant rain through Monday, and some stress to crops with low soil moisture is anticipated as temperatures reach the 90s and lower 100s.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon, Mike.
Nobody better than Herb Albert to get us over hump day, Dave.
Oh, it is such a good tune for a Wednesday. Let's look at, speaking of hump days, let's look at wheat, which has, boy, it has been beat up since essentially December of 2012. And we are continually looking for the bottom. You mentioned this morning the importance of wheat finding a bottom in order to help corn. Was today's action in wheat constructive toward finding a bottom?
Well, I don't know if you can say that yet. I think this is where the corn was, to me, the clear pusher to bringing the wheat back around, along with the Egyptian business that was reported. Romania and France came in and took 300,000 tons of wheat at prices very, very close to where we are at the Gulf. But it's really fascinating. I think people probably wonder if we don't talk before the show, Dave, but I was looking at the wheat seasonality, and the July 2012 wheat price, we're within about a dime, and we're almost right in an exact type of trend since the latter part of October compared to the July 2012 wheat crop and wheat futures price as to what we are right now in the July 14. And we essentially went, we found a bottom in the middle later part of December in 2012, went up about 40 cents in that time period up until the first or second week of January, and then essentially went sideways to maybe a little bit lower all the way till June. And then June, we set new contract highs as the market and that contract expired. And, you know, I could actually see this coming year being very similar because we do have to work down substantial global stocks, and the trade's probably not really prepared for any kind of supply scares, which would probably come during the harvest time period, because these past 2 years in a row, we've seen harvest where it's actually been better than the trade was expecting from some of the winter kill potential and some of the harsh winters that we've seen. And yields have come in very, very strong by for most intents purposes the last couple of years. So I'm kind of using that July 2012 chart as a model year for our 14 right now.
Seems to me that today's price action was slightly constructive in the corn pit. We've touched upon the 50-day moving average into the December contract. We haven't seen that for quite a while. It's also a 23% Fibonacci retracement from the September to the current move in December. It just seems to me we're right there where, with just a little bit of push, we might try something, I don't know, maybe all the way up to 459.
Well, and I think, you know, talking to a client just before the show from Douglas County, he called me and told me that there were some elevators out there that were starting to pick up ground piles. Some elevators starting to do some DP corn for December and January now at this point. And, you know, given the size of what the USDA says we have out there, I think it's very, very important to note that as December corn gets ready to go off the board on Friday, that today's close of 431.5 was the best close since November 12th in the midst of zero deliveries all the way throughout the delivery process of the corn. And so I think it's very, very telling, and I think this is where the demand comes into play and where it still, to me, looks a lot like a 1996-2006 type demand market brewing here, where they kind of sneak up on you, and it's very unexciting and very boring to watch for several months at a time, but you tend to build your prices and build your demand and that head of steam up, and I think that's where we're at right now. It'll be interesting to see how the December corn and especially the December meal go off the board here Friday and how the new lead month contracts react to that.
And if we look at the March, I would think 457 then would be the target.
That's exactly right. You know, you get about 70 cents higher than the lows. It's going to be extremely hard to push through that. And so I think you set your sights for about 50 cents off that 420 low as your likely target and your first line in the sand to be able to get above today's and yesterday's high, especially, and get some of these moving averages working in favor of the momentum to go higher. 457 is your first target, and then I'd put it right around 470 to 480 as your secondary target to make some new sales.
Meanwhile, over in the soybeans, that 1322 area continues to be 1322, 1330 in the March. If you're looking at the January, 1345, that continues to be an area of consolidation.
It does, and we had an inside day today in the beans. I think your weather report you brought in right before we went on the air had a lot to do with how the market closed today. The noontime models continue to remain on a drier track. The bull spread came back around. And I think, again, going back to the Dease-Jan meal spread, we've got $26 a ton premium in the December contract. It's expiring Friday. I'm hearing in Indiana and Illinois you're getting upwards of $40, $50 over for the January delivery meal on the cash market. You know, and that would be off the March futures. And so you're essentially in the cash market the same price as you are with Dease as the lead month futures. And so it looks like a pretty strong market. And once the meal market tops, I think you can expect that the bean market will top with it.
So if we look at that meal market tops in terms of either time or dollar value, what are your best estimates?
I don't think you want to take out yesterday's lows at all, because I think that being the report day, you had the report match up with the trade estimates, and what the trade was pricing in was pretty accurate. They'd seen this demand increase coming and had priced it in accurately. If you take out yesterday's lows, I think that opens you up on the downside. And if you would take out yesterday's lows with the meal leading, that would mean a little bit extra to me that it's time to get some additional sales made. And well, I'm starting to do that at this point, even without taking that out, just trying to trickle some sales in until I get more of a clear sell signal.
Turn our attention to macroeconomic factors. What do we need to keep an eye on between now and the end of the year?
Just one thing, the Federal Reserve. I mean, they're going to be probably talking a lot more as we get to the end of this week, and you're probably going to hear a lot more as we get into the weekend. And then next week is the big Fed meeting. And with the unemployment numbers and with some of the most recent economic numbers coming out here in the United States and some of the industrial production numbers coming out, it really puts, I think, and the budget deal with the, you know, the government just announced last night, I think it puts a lot of pressure on the Fed to start tapering, and how that market reacts to that's going to be huge.
Well, there was just talk in the last meeting that taper wouldn't occur until into the new year because of the change of the top.
And that may be. I mean, it may be an issue, but I think the budget deal means a lot. I suspect that the Federal Reserve feels a little bit more open to going ahead and moving on monetary policy now that they see the fiscal policy wheels turning. But we still have the debt deal and the debt ceiling to be increased, and that may cause them to go past this month and into January, February. I still think there's probably close to a 50-50 chance that they'll do something in their commentary this month to cool the stock market off, because I think more and more people are seeing more of a bubble in the stock market at this point.
It seems that they might take it out in steps and not taking out in the whole, it seems to me.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they can do it in the whole, because then you go into uncharted territory and you lose the confidence of the market. That forward guidance is going to be so big, but we've never relied so heavily upon it in the history of our central bank.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Talk to you Friday.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas says he may call for an extension to the 2008 Farm Bill through the end of January. However, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Debbie Stabenow says that the Senate will not pass it. Lucas said progress has been made in negotiations, and he would file an extension to make sure there will be no increases in dairy prices. But Lucas added, if it appears that Congress will take up the farm bill the first week of January, that he would be very hesitant to bring the extension to the floor for a vote. But Stabenow says the Senate will not vote for a bill that would authorize the Agriculture Department to make a new round of direct payments to crop producers, even though those payments would not be scheduled to be made until next October. Stabenow also told reporters that she wants to keep up the pressure to finish the bill. She said lawmakers hope to announce a framework agreement before the Senate leaves for the holidays on December 20th, then hold an open conference meeting in early January, and then pass the bill. Stabenow said Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has assured her that there would be no impact on dairy prices in January if the farm bill is not passed until sometime in that month. Lucas conceded that if there is an extension vote, it will be at the very last minute before the House recesses. Dallas Federal Reserve Bank President Richard Fisher says the Fed should begin reducing its $85 billion a month purchases of U.S. Treasuries and mortgage-backed securities as soon as possible. The Federal Open Markets Committee will make the call, perhaps as soon as next week, whether to continue buying bonds or to dial back on the easy money policy. Fisher argues that the Federal Reserve has to stop prolonging the distortions in the market that are building up because of the long-term bond buys. Trade ministers from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Group of Countries concluded 4 days of meetings in Singapore yesterday without achieving their goal of concluding the negotiations by the end of the year. Instead, they issued a final declaration saying that the 12 participating countries are close to a deal and intend to wrap up negotiations soon. However, they are said to be still debating whether to set a new deadline for completing the pact. Members of the Illinois Farm Bureau have elected a new statewide president, Farmer Rich Giebert, from Ellis Grove near the confluence of the Mississippi and Kaskaskia Rivers south of St. Louis, serves as the organization's 15th president. Giebert has promised to pursue 4 primary issues. Promoting agriculture as a career path is among those 4, and where Giebert begins his first official press conference as president of the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Illinois has some of the brightest and the most talented kids around. We need to keep them in Illinois, go into our 4 ag schools or colleges, and then to stay in Illinois and be a part of Illinois agriculture, whether it's in manufacturing, technology, and or to come back to the farm if they have that opportunity.
The other issues Giebert cited include building relationships with commodity groups, consumers, and legislators, working to expand livestock production within the state's boundaries, and increasing communications with the Illinois Farm Bureau membership. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The dramatic drop in the price of corn has many farmers aching for lower cash rents. Todd Gleason reports, an ag economist at the University of Illinois, thinks that's a good idea and has a benchmark for the future.
There is a simple reason why farmland cash rents should go lower, says University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnitke.
In the past several years, farmland returns have been really pretty high because of $6 corn, and now we're moving back to $4.50 corn, which is $1.50 lower, and that on, 200 bushel of land is considerably less in revenue.
So the highest cash rents being paid in the state, believes Illinois Schnitke, will result in per-acre losses in the coming year. The highest rents, according to a study just completed, on average are about $75 above the going rate for any particular county. It does not mean the average rate, however, needs to drop by $75 an acre.
Probably not as much that large of a decrease. Probably more in the range of, $10 to $25 an acre would be a downward movement, and that would come from high cash rents coming down. But we still have quite a few cash rents that are significantly below average as well. So those likely will continue to move up, and those two will sort of counter each other. But, an average that's $10, $15, $20 lower than it is currently would could happen if we have sustained prices in $4.50 for several years.
As for the coming year, it does not appear, says Schnitke, that Illinois farmers managed to negotiate lower cash rents for 2014.
Overall, our indications would say that they're up slightly on an average basis, maybe $2 or $3, much less of an increase than has been in recent years, but still up, where we think decisions will begin to be harder to make will be in the at the end of 2014, in that 2014 rental decision, because at that point we'll have had a solid year of 450 corn, unless we have some supply disruption, and then we'll see what cash rents do next bidding season.
Looking forward, Schnitke believes low $4 a bushel corn will persist through the 2014 and 2015 growing seasons, and barring some sharp change in supply or demand for grain. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Breanne Stauffer of the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. Good afternoon, Breanne.
Good afternoon.
First, kind of curious, are the phones ringing very much these days?
The phones actually are ringing. It has a lot more to do with stuff of coming to year end, that type of thing, things getting squared away from an insurance standpoint. Definitely easier to buy beans today, more so than corn, just kind of where, as far as where the cash prices are at.
How far along, if you know, is Clymers from a historical level regarding the buying of corn and beans, regarding some sort of an average that you have established? In other words, are producers selling at the rate that they normally sell? Are they holding more than they usually do for this time of year, or what?
Yeah, I would say they are holding on to a little bit more than they would normally move. I think the second half of December time slot seems to be somewhat gaining some attraction here, that we're now, the board's helping us out a little bit, but I still feel like it's a hold and wait strategy with an awful lot on the farm. It's just, when does that move to town?
There's been some talk about that we are essentially going to have, and I'm putting quotes, air quotes with my fingers now, a second harvest, in that right after the first of year, shortly thereafter, there could be a lot of grain going to market, and the potential for basis to weaken at that point. What are your thoughts?
Yes, we've been advising those who work with us as well the same thing, everybody to touch base with us next week and the week after for December, about potentially locking in some stuff for January that they have to move on hedges for March, that type of thing. Definitely something we're looking very strongly at managing.
In the corn,
the producer's standpoint.
Right. In the corn, when you do talk to producers on the phone about corn, what kind of prices would they like to see? I know they'd like to see $9, but what are they realistically talking about for price?
I still think there's a lot that are holding out for the $5 range, but I do think, you know, the $4.50 level would definitely move some corn, or at least get people to start reluctantly getting things going.
Go ahead then and give us your prices today, please.
Okay, here in the Clymers, we are at a 434 cash price at 5 under the March.
And in the soybeans?
On our soybean side in Delphi, we're option priced today at 1344 cash.
And thank you very much, Breanne.
Okay, thank you.
That's Breanne Stauffer, and she is with the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas. He is actually in Kansas City, Missouri. And we'll get the latest on South American weather. Want to ask him some questions about that. It's National Noodle Ring Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1874, James Lewis Kraft was born. A Canadian-born inventor, he discovered a pasteurizing process for cheese. And in 1903, he founded the Kraft Company in Chicago. In 1916, Kraft patented a processed cheese formula based on milk solids that would not spoil. He called it American cheese. The general public found it bland, but Kraft remained undaunted. He took the formula to the U.S. Army and sold them 6 million pounds of the product. In 1941, Frank Conrad died. He is generally regarded as creator of radio shows. One day, while transmitting from his garage amateur station, he substituted a record player for his microphone. And soon he heard from large numbers of listeners tuning in with crystal sets clamoring for more music and news. When swamped with requests, he decided to air regularly scheduled programs, and he coined the term broadcast. In 1952, William Dampier died, a British scientist, agriculturalist, and science historian. He developed a method of extracting milk sugar from surplus whey. The process was put to use on a commercial scale during the cheese shortage of World War I. He was also knighted in 1931 for his public service in agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I want to start with Brazil. It's a head-scratcher because yesterday in their report, WASDE made no change in the potential size of the crop in Brazil, leaving it at 88 million metric tons. And a lot of different private organizations had been suggesting a bigger number. From a weather standpoint, can you see a bigger number than 88?
I do for now, but I don't know that I would keep it later, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
I think we're going to run into a little bit of a weather issue for that part of the world a little bit later here this month, more likely in January. And I think we need to be cautious with it. Certainly, if things continue as they are right now, the production potential is tremendous. They put a lot of seed in the ground, and conditions have been almost ideal. And if it were to stay like this, certainly it would have to be a bigger crop. But I do think that we are at the end of the pristine weather, and we're going to start seeing a little bit more adversity with some dryness developing in some of the south and some excessive rains in the north. And this will begin probably in the next week, and we'll likely see it staying with us on into January. And the end result of that is we may shave off a little yield for some of the southern crop.
Does that also impact Argentina?
It may. The eastern portions of Argentina could very well be a part of that. The pattern that's setting up is not necessarily a blocking-type weather pattern, but Argentina is where the higher pressure is going to be present aloft, and because of its presence there, it reduces rain downwind into southern Brazil. So Argentina will be impacted as well, but probably not quite as significantly, mainly because of the fact that we'll still be allowing some storm systems to move across southern portions of Argentina, whereas further north it might not be so good.
Turn your attention to the U.S. corn and soybean belt. What concerns do you have? It's going to turn cold again, is it?
Absolutely. And this little snow we picked up today was really important across some of the Midwest, because we had actually developed a little hole with our snow cover. And temperatures tonight are supposed to drop down near and below zero across some of the northern portions of Illinois, Indiana, and neighboring areas. And some of that snow-free country was vulnerable to some winter kill for that soft wheat crop. I think we've filled in those pockets relatively well. I think we still have some exposure, though, so a little bit of concern about the wheat conditions as we go through the next 24 hours. Certainly the cold is going to continue to come and go fairly frequently yet through the weekend.
Thank you, Drew.
Have a good day.
That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's closing market report. Remember to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. Use the link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.